the Rove and Sam catch-up.
Chitty, chitty, chat, 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 chat.
Why is that so loud?
Why is that so loud? That is loud.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Chitty Chat. We've got a massive day today. The Chitty Chat's going to be short because we've got to do some prep.
We just did, because you're the Chitty Chatters. Oh, Sam's tangled in the thing.
Oh, my bloody mess.
Yeah, bloody mess. We chatted to Megan Gale. You'll hear that tomorrow. And talking about her son, River, going through the solar system, the planet.
So cute.
You'll hear it all tomorrow. I won't go into details. But pretty darn cute. And fascinating. I'm fascinated.
Rove just fell off his chair. What okay. the hell?
What is happening
today?
How did
you just do that?
I went to push backwards. I went to roll out because I realised I was tucked. I was tucked under. I was like tucked under the desk. He says tucking himself under the desk in the medium of radio and podcast, of which anyone who puts this podcast out doesn't know what either are.
Like
catch up. It's a catch up.
Oh, that makes sense. Can I go back to my worker drone station?
Yes, you can.
It was like slow motion.
Yeah, so I just saw him fall.
So I was just tucking, like my waist was getting felt like as I was moving was shoving me further under the desk. So
yeah.
I just went to push. Calm down. Calm down. But I just went to push myself out.
Shoving myself under the desk.
Shoving it right under.
Ew,
deep under
don't.
The desk. And then I just fell out. I went to push myself out and my wheels didn't roll.
Mm.
And I just leant back.
Don't hate it when your wheels don't roll.
Shut up, Jamie.
What are you talking about?
This is why you're not allowed on mics.
Why did we
you're
go?
You're not allowed on the mic, Jamie the button pusher. What were you going to say, Rove?
We went to, oh, how's this? We all had the weekend in Queensland.
We did.
Were you actual Gold Coast?
Yeah, I flew into Gold Coast and then I went to like.
You went to Brisbane, Jamie.
That was
Brisbane. And I bumped into one of Jamie's mates on the weekend.
How did you bump into them?
Because.
What happened?
Oh, you know
what? So I was at a bar having some espresso martinis, having a great time.
Sure?
And some dude comes up to me, he's like, oh, hi, Sham. And I go, and I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, oh, you know, one of my mates. He's like, oh, yeah, continue. And they're like, Jamie, the button pusher. And I was like, I love that guy. I don't. I was just saying it to your friend, so you look cool. You're welcome. And then I'm just like, let's get a picky and send it to him. So I did.
I did. So at 11 o'clock on Friday night, I get a message going, yo, mate, Brizzy. And I'm like, get your own mates. And she's like, I'm like, where are you? And then, yeah.
And then I said, oh, you're coming to the Gold Coast. Even though I knew you were in Brisbane. Yeah. I don't know why I asked.
Who was yours?
Who was it?
Arlo? Is it Arlo I met?
Oh, so back in the station, Gold Coast. Yeah, Allo Baker.
Allo.
Yeah,
Allo.
So who looked after you because you were in Gold Coast.
For Ruby Rose, which you're here today.
Yeah.
And I met two other Sams.
You did.
I met Sam at the front desk.
Yep, the receptionist.
Who's about as Gold Coast as you can get.
Yep.
Oh.
She is just... 14 different flavors of delightful. You would have loved her, Frosty.
She's great.
She's fun.
Why are you guys making so many sound effects? She's obviously hot. That's what.
She's just. Let me describe it to you.
No.
So I've walked into the building.
You might put your foot in it.
No. I've walked into the building.
Yeah.
I've said hello, and I was told there's a Sam you're looking for, but there's also another Sam at the desk.
Hmm.
And so I've come in and I've said, oh, hello. I said, hello, Sam. I'm looking for Sam. She's immediately got up from behind the desk and said, I'm the only Sam you're looking for, love. Come here. And she gave me the biggest hug and kiss.
She's
it was
lovely.
And then she wrapped her arm around me and she did not let me go.
Oh.
And she did not let me go for my entire walk through the studio.
Well, there you go. That's lovely.
And then
lovely.
On the way out, she said, you come back here. You give me another big hug and a kiss before you go. And I said, Sam, you know I will.
Big cutie.
If you're listening, Sam, at CFM, you know who you are.
Yeah. Oh, do you know on CFM, we listen to our national show.
Yep.
And they introduced me. They're like, Rove McManus and the Bachelorette, Sam Frost. And it's like, mate, really?
What's this for?
Does that mean I don't have any credentials anymore?
No.
You know what I mean?
Ugh, I'm not defined by this. Don't you dare.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you what you're saying.
And it's like, kind of thought that was. Anyway, I don't want to be that guy.
We've had people from New Zealand who.
What title do you want?
Sam Frost, just my name.
That makes sense at this point, 12 months down the track.
Guys, it's been a year and a half.
Or they should say, the one that picked right.
Yeah.
Sam Frost.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, how long? How long do you keep that title? I mean, trust me, I'll still talk. Like, if
you'll,
I get
you'll be like Guy Sebastian talking about Idol or something.
Yeah.
Sure, part
Which
of the pedigree.
Fine.
I get
totally.
It.
I'll talk about it. That's
but we
fine.
Don't introduce him as
Australian Idol's Guy Sebastian.
Where's your afro gone?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, that's my
that's a good question.
That's my 2 cents.
But yeah, everyone at CFM who was very lovely to talk to and hang out with. I also met, I want to say, I think it was Luke. He's a newbie. Maybe he wasn't there when you were around. But just a lot of people just talking about this.
Because I used
guy.
To work at Goldie Office.
And Friday was the last day for Charlie.
Their breakfast show.
Which was the one you used to work on.
Yeah.
Charlie and
Gailey.
Gailey. There, it was their last day. I was there for their last day. Big,
that's
quite
lovely.
A bit
Did
of
have
sadness.
Some birthday cake?
No, it was. You know what it's like. You're working in this business. It's not like they wanted to leave. They're out. Can't they just go through for another 2 weeks? Why am I looking at you, Jamie?
I don't know.
Jamie.
Oh,
you killed your own, Jamie. How do you feel? How do you feel? Quick question: did you get out in time after all the swearing we did on Friday?
Oh, it took a while. Took a while to put that together.
Anyway, we got to experience a wonderful time. Thank you to everybody who filled the 1,300 seats at Jupiter's.
Oh, yeah.
We had a fun night. Me, Hammo, Dilruk Jaisinghe from Have You Been Paying Attention.
Oh, great.
A whole bunch of other fantastic names. It was a big night. Nick Cody. It was a great lineup. Fun show. I, at one point, don't worry about it. It was just good fun. I drank a lot of alcohol on stage to impress a bunch of people.
Yeah,
at one point,
peer pressure.
I think it was like at the start of the second half. I just came out, I was mucking around, and that's when it hit me. Oh, my God, I don't control these people. And normally it's one versus, it could be 10 people in the audience, 30, 100, 1,000, 1,300. But you are the one who calls the shots. That was the way it was for the first half. Second half started, and at the point they said, dance through the crowd like Ellen. I went, okay.
And fun.
Of course I did. Of course that's what I did. And on the way through, someone handed me a beer. What did I do? Of course I scolded on stage. What was I to do, Gold Coast? What was I to do? And that's what you'll see next year when I'm touring live around the country.
Great.
I look forward to everything ending up online because I just realised that's kind of what happens now.
Someone would have filmed that.
For sure.
So coming up soon, we'll just see a video of McManus just walking down the aisles drinking a beer.
Wailing down some ales. Look, it's a cracking good show today. As we've already mentioned, we got Ruby Rose.
Yep.
We have Sandra Sully. Yep. We have Mel B.
Cool.
But that's enough.
Awesome.
Look, what more do you need? We got stuff to do. Robbie Williams
Guys,
today.
Got stuff to do.
World famous rooftop tonight.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake still to come. We are not done with only a couple of weeks left till the end of the year. Here it is.
Bye, Chitty Chatters.
Here's the significantly edited catch-up. Rove and Sam. Joining us today is none other than Sandra Sully, one of Australia's most high-profile journalists and respected news presenters. Little known fact, Sandra was the first woman to co-host the broadcast of the Melbourne Cup Carnival. Gotta tell you, I've always respected jockeys and really looked up to them all my life. Wait a second, this is another heights joke. When I find out who's writing these, I'm going to hire a Sherpa to get myself high enough to slap you, silly. Hashtag running gag. Sandra Sully, good morning.
Good morning, you two.
How are you?
I'd only get up this early because you asked nicely.
I know, it's so early.
Yeah.
I don't even wake up until about 8, so that's fun.
No, but, you know, there's plenty of light outside.
Yeah.
You
it's
start
nice
the day
now.
Early.
It's
it is nice.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
now
lovely.
What,
it's different.
As a news person, do you have to get up first thing, check the news anyway, know what's going on? Or can you just turn up at, you know, 4:45 and just go, so what happened today?
Yeah, everyone thinks we rock in and just read what's in front of us. Look, I've already downloaded 4 papers, had a quick scan.
Have you?
Yeah.
What's your big story for today? What's trending in your news feed today?
Oh, I haven't checked in with the newsroom, you see. So, you know, there's a cast of thousands that put together the news. I know what I would like in there, but that's irrelevant.
Oh, welcome to my world.
Oh, we'll workshop that at about 2 o'clock.
Now, Family Feud, we're very excited.
Yeah.
Now, so it's the news readers, it's everyone's favourite host, but who is the worst on your team?
Natasha Belling. She's a shocker.
Is she really?
Hopeless.
Tosh.
Yeah. No, I say that because I love her. But honestly, it was so much fun. We were all extremely nervous because we were worried. In that split second where the pressure's on, sometimes, you know, you go blank.
Yeah.
It's unscripted, so boom, Tish, I'll just give you that line. But what the fun thing was, of course, looking across at the game show hosts, all the hosts, TV hosts, and it was like looking at 60 years of television right in front of us.
But no one expects Burjo to know anything. You guys have to know stuff.
They're crafty, that lot. Yeah. They were really crafty and underhanded. They accused us of cheating, but I tell you what, they were very naughty.
Question your integrity?
Oh, outrageous. We arced up big time.
Now, I'm interested to get your take on the rise of this current fake news that everyone's talking about. They reckon this is part of the reason Trump got in. Mm. Firstly, as a journalist, mm-hmm. as a news presenter, mm-hmm. Are you allowed to have an opinion on things like the US election?
And no.
How do you think? No?
No.
Well, look, I think you always walk that fine line between reporting the facts as opposed to having a view, and that's a commentator.
Mm. Sure.
I mean, when we did that big broadcast the day of the election, you know, your job really is to try and elicit the facts and present the facts on both sides of an argument as they're rolling in. And you always, I personally try and steer clear of having a view. I've got plenty of views. I just don't think in my role I should promulgate them.
That would be tough. I can't hold my
tongue.
Well,
then you become very left or very right cable news. Well, I guess that's the problem now, is people aren't really getting actual facts or stories. Like I can sometimes click on a news site and look at it going, I don't think that's a story. That's clickbait. That's just a flashy headline. That I think is an ad.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so that's why I'm glad that you guys still exist.
Well, our role is, you know, if people tune in at 5 o'clock, they want to know and want to believe they're getting an unbiased view. I mean, it's really hard to be completely unbiased. I mean, we arrive trying to give the stories of the day in an Australian context, so that is already a bias. But you've got to try and give it as straight as you can and let the viewers make up their minds based on the facts that you present.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the goal every day. We're not perfect, but that's what we try to do.
You guys bloody nail it.
I have to say, on the Trump broadcast, there was one moment, I think Mamma Mia... Mia Friedman had said, oh, no, there was a moment, I think, when I had my head in my hands. And if you're walking past the television, I guess it implied that I was devastated that Donald Trump had got in. And that's because the sound was obviously down when Mia was watching and, you know, doing other things. The reality was the panel had been discussing that if Trump gets in, Kanye be next.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I put my head in my hands. So I sort of had to get on social media and say, hey, guys, no, I wasn't having a view. I was just expressing exasperation at arguably where we may be going.
Exactly.
Well, man, I think that's the big problem now is Trump has proven, look, anyone can do it. It could be The Rock versus Kanye, not in a wrestling match.
Look, I think we can just hope that he's surrounded by enough checks and balances to keep us on track.
We can hope, but it won't happen. But this will lighten the mood tonight. Hosts versus newsreaders, Family Feud, 7:30 on Channel 10. The shining light that is Sandra Sully. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Rogan Sam.
131060, we want to know, when did you ruin something? Day one. One of our own, one of our team, the man, the myth, Mr. Justin Hammo Hamilton.
Hammo!
It's good to be here.
Now,
you saw something the other day.
Yes.
Was it yesterday?
It was on Saturday, actually. Yeah, it was. Look, this is an unfortunate story. I was at a cafe on Crown Street having a nice little coffee and
nothing unfortunate about that.
Nothing unfortunate. So far, so good, right? So this dude turns up on a scooter and he's talking to the waiter next to me and he's talking about, I just bought my scooter. Like, I just bought it. It's brand new. Just picked it up. I thought I'd come in, get a little coffee to celebrate. So he gets a little coffee, has a little celebration. And he says, oh, I'll catch you later. And then he gets onto his scooter and next minute you go, poof, and he shot off a little bit too quickly, turned left, fell over, and the scooter fell on him and broke his leg.
Now I feel bad laughing.
I know. I felt so bad for him as well. Like, he must have had it for like 15 minutes.
He would have been trapped under it too, right? Oh, yeah. Quite heavy.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Absolute idiot.
He looked, have you ever seen...
He would have been telling everyone about it while he was there.
Yeah.
Check it out. 750cc.
Check this out. But then he got two stories. It's one, look at my scooter, and two, look at the way my leg goes in a different direction to the rest of my body. He took off a little bit like, have you ever seen that episode of 30 Rock with John Hamm? And he... a very specific reference, people, but on the money.
So that's the bike takes off.
Yeah.
And he's kind of almost left behind.
No.
But you hang on.
Yeah.
And it just starts scooting. And then you panic.
Yeah.
And you don't brake. You just keep driving.
By the way, when he took off and fell over, like, it was barely 2 metres.
Sure.
It wasn't even like he got a little bit down the road. So it was also in front of the cafe where he just bought his coffee.
So day one.
Yeah.
New scooter.
Yeah.
Stacks it on himself.
Yeah.
Breaks his leg.
Poor guy.
Scooter ruined.
Yeah.
He'd never ride that again. He hates it now.
Oh, mate. He really spent too much on that tattoo. Well,
the best thing is he just born to ride. Bragging about it.
So 13 10 60, we would love to hear, how did you ruin something day one?
Yeah,
could be a vehicle, could be an outfit.
I got a pet budgie day one, it died.
Day one?
Yeah, drowned in a water bowl.
What?
Hang on. What did you do?
His name was Bubbles or Buddy. We hadn't decided yet.
Maybe right. That was the problem.
Yeah.
Identity crisis.
I need a name.
No, it was so sad.
Right.
Anyway, so I ruined my bird and now I've got a fear of birds.
Right.
This took a turn.
Wow.
So 13 10 60, guys. When did you... Scooter fell on you. Bird drowned itself. Whatever it might be, we would love to hear. When did you ruin something day one? Roven Sam. Amy Goggins in the news booth.
I got a pogo stick for Christmas and I hadn't even jumped on it and my cousin jumped on it to start with and broke it.
See?
Broke it?
Yeah.
Broke
like,
your poor little
he was
pogo
obviously,
stick.
I don't want to say, but he was a bit bigger than the weight limit.
Sure. Oh, Goggins, you can't say that.
And it crushed it down and yeah, I've never pogoed again.
I had a friend of mine who broke his ankle the first time he got on a pogo stick.
Mate,
ruined
pogo
it.
Sticks are a disaster.
I actually don't think they're that fun either because
no.
It's you're quite like it's very jerky.
What
and
is
it's
the
really
weight limit
tricky.
On a pogo stick?
It's really tricky.
You know what? I'm an ace at pogo sticks. We should get one in and I'll just show you how it's done.
Yes.
Have you pogo stick before, Frosty?
Oh, I've tried to, but I can't remember the outcome. I think I'm too
let's
scared of
it.
Let's bring
no,
back
let's
horrible memories for me. Great.
Yay!
We'll get you back on the stick. Don't you worry.
We can pogo past your newsroom. Fiona in Seven Hills, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Now, when did you ruin something day one?
So I got my license and my parents bought me a brand new car.
Yep.
And I drove off down the road and I crashed.
Wow.
Mate.
What did you like? What did you, how did you smash? What did you do? Just was it just a little ding or was it a rather nasty one?
It was a little ding, but I sneezed and crashed.
You sneezed? Did you say you sneezed and crashed?
Yeah.
My sister has a perfect track record when it comes to driving, but her fear is if anything's going to be her undoing, it'll be sneezing.
Yeah.
Because you close your eyes.
Well, when I sneeze 4 times in a row, so I'm like...
That is a
that's
fact.
That's a long time to have your eyes closed driving. Loza in Chatswood, good morning.
G'day, McManus. How are you, Sam?
Very
good, Loza. He's happy to be here.
When did you ruin something day one?
My life, when I started my apprenticeship.
This guy... He's got his mates in the background.
All
everyone's
right.
Having a good time. Hey,
so what happened? Why? Why has it ruined it? Why has it ruined it?
Oh, it's not that bad. It's just Lane bricks and 36 degree heat. You know, it's
sucks.
The brick you like.
It bloody sucks, doesn't it?
I thought I had an escape, a segment, but you know, I'm stuck here till I'm 60.
Nice one, Loza.
How's the mates in the background? That's funny. Roven
Sam. Music superstar Mel B joins us today on the road to tonight's finale of The X Factor. With the finale tonight, this is going to be our last chance to try to find out all the gossip everyone wants to know from behind the scenes of the show. Like, is Guy Sebastian that nice? Or does he really punch puppies when no one's looking? We demand to know the truth. Mel B, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Are you excited about tonight? Vlado's he's looking good.
I am.
Looking good.
The big finale.
I'm very excited. You know, last night was a pretty kind of fun, emotional show. And to be honest, I'm trying to call it, but I just can't decide who's going to win. I mean, obviously I want my guy to win Vlado, but everybody put on such amazing performances, like really good. I'm struggling to try and pick who Australia is going to vote for.
Yeah, It's really tricky because usually when you watch the show, you pretty much have a favourite. You're like, it's got to be this guy. But this is it's tough competition with the final four. And then obviously last night, huge performances of Robbie Williams, Charlie XCX, James Arthur. Mate, what a great show. Do you just sit back in the judges panel and just enjoy every single moment? Or is your mind too preoccupied on the show to enjoy the performances?
I mean, at this point, you know, with it being the grand final, you just kind of have to just hope and pray you've mentored enough and given enough advice and direction to your contestant, and then you just have to sit back and just hope for the best and enjoy the show. I mean, I have the best seat in the house on that judging panel. We just sit there and just get entertained, basically.
Well, look, you've done well, even sort of coming in midway through and offering up your mentorship, your advice. You used to do this job in this studio. Do you have any advice for us on how to do this?
You're doing a great job. How are you talking about? You're fine. I don't have any advice for you.
Thank God, Mel Bay.
Hey,
God.
I did want to...
We're good to go, Sam! In your face, out there!
I did want to ask, so you guys, the Spice Girls, it's their 20th anniversary. I'm sure you're getting asked this a lot, but there was a lot of, you know, you guys were, Jerry and Emma were going to, you know, relaunch, do a bit of a tour. Is that still happening or what's the latest?
You know what? I've no idea. And until something actually gets booked, there's not really any point in talking about it. I mean, next year, we did plan on doing a few things, but kind of everyone's diary has gone crazy. I mean, I'm doing Broadway in New York, then I start America's Got Talent up again, and, you know, it's all kind of a bit here, there and everywhere. So until something actually gets set in stone and we all sign off on it, it's kind of up in the air, which is so disappointing. So fingers crossed something will actually come to fruition. But until then, I can just sit and hope.
As we all can. Look, I'm sure everyone will be excited to know that that will be happening at some point, though. And in the meantime, of course, the X Factor Grand Final Show. It's live tonight at 7:30 on Channel 7. Good luck to you and Vlado. Mel B, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Roven Sam.
131060, we would like to know, how was your romantic weekend ruined? We've come in this morning. One of our friends, well.
Well.
Terrible.
Yeah. Alexandra Spurway. I might as well throw under her the bus because why not? She had planned a lovely weekend away. Her and her partner are doing a little bit, like they live together, but they do a bit of long distance.
Work takes him away.
Exactly.
In FIFO.
He's gone away for 4 weeks. They're like, well, let's rekindle by having a romantic weekend away.
Oh, I love it when they talk that way.
Yeah, I know. It's so hot. Anyway, and she was so excited about this. She's like, guys, I've got my tan. I'm looking hot. Got my hair did. La, la, la.
He's like, I can't wait to take you away.
And she's all pumped.
So they decided they're going to jump on a plane, do something nice.
Why not, they say. But anyway, she ended up eating something she probably shouldn't have and chundered in both ways everywhere. Her boyfriend probably is going to dump you because you're so gross.
It was just one foolish choice at the airport.
It was water falling everywhere.
Yeah. It's like, are you running a bath in there? Anyway, weekend ruined. There was one point where she thought, I think I've got it in me to go out to dinner. Bam, bam. You did not. It was almost like her stomach and bowels were saying, like Jake, our listener,
oh.
No!
That's had a bit of reverb on it.
I'm obsessed with stories like this. I think it's so fun. And then her partner's like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I mean, I'll see you in another 4 weeks.
Oh, that'll be fine, right? So 131060, we would love to know.
He's probably on Tinder now.
How was your romantic weekend ruined?
Roven Sam.
Junior in Liverpool, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Junes?
Yeah, good. Hey, shout out to Mrs. Spur, whatever her name is. Yes, got a shout out to her.
Mama Spurway. Mama Spurway.
And massive shout out to you guys. I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Awesome. Thank you, Junior.
Junior, if I was to have another kid, I would name it after you. Junior. So there you go.
Oh, look at that.
Now, how was your romantic weekend ruined?
Oh, probably with an ex now.
Oh,
I don't want to name and shame her at all.
No, but anyways, you're a gentleman.
But let's get the story out anyway.
So romantic week, and you know, booked out the whole nine yards, and then you know everything was going well, and then she came on the weekend, and it was that time of the month. Oh. It just ruined everything. 2 days.
Oh.
Yeah, nothing.
Look, we've all been there. We've all been there. Junior?
Yeah.
Jade up. Jade up for like 2 weeks.
God,
and then
you're so ready to go.
Junior!
Oh. Junior. What can you do?
Oh, there's
no. You want to be a gentleman, but at the same time, it's kind of like, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me.
What's your point?
I'm good either way. But it's not about you, Junior.
All the money you've wasted and that happens.
Oh, mate. Thank you, Junior. I like Junior.
Well, I wasn't expecting
that. No, he started off quite the gentleman, and then it was, which is not to say he's still not. That's not where I thought that story was going. Junior, call back anytime.
Grace, good morning.
Good morning, my favourite people.
Oh, Grace, you can stay. Now, Grace, how was your romantic ruined? I mean, weekend ruined.
We're by the Red Sea. My romantic weekend, it was great to start with.
Hey, Grace, just quickly, you're not dating Junior at any point, were you?
No.
Okay, good, just checking. All right, not want to get ahead of ourselves here. Hit me.
I'll cut it short. Nelson's Bay, walk along the beach, beautiful dinner, a few drinks, back to the hotel. You know, you do what you do, and then bam, I broke out in the biggest rash of my life.
Oh, no.
He thought I had given him an STD. I am serious. This is not funny. Don't judge me. It's called Bundaberg Rum. Turns out it was a rum rash. I'm slightly allergic to it, so I don't drink rum.
I've never heard of rum. Such a
guys,
thing.
Guys, it's not an STD, let me tell you.
Guys, it was just too much rum. I want to make it very clear. I'm clean, I just drank too much. I'm a classy lady. Grace, you're a delight.
Well,
look,
I wasn't expecting that to happen, to be honest.
Look, do we have soda streams this week? We do? I want two. I want one for Junior and one for Grace. I've said it. Soda stream, because the people love it.
They do love it.
Roden Sam. Australian DJ turned actor Ruby Rose is killing it at the moment. She's written and directed the new video for The Veronicas, also has her standout role in Orange is the New Black, and now stars in the new Vin Diesel movie Triple X Return of Xander Cage. So far, there's been the movie Triple X and the sequel Triple X State of the Union. Now, of course, Triple X Return of Xander Cage. I can't wait for the porn parody Triple X Triple X. Let me tell you guys, that's a lot of X. I caught up with Ruby over the weekend. It had been a while. It was great to see her.
Ruby Rose, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excuse my ignorance, but I need to get a bit of a timeline happening. Obviously, aware of your music history, aware of the DJing, the modelling to a certain extent, but where did the acting...
It was very musical modelling.
Where did the acting come from? That sort of seemed to be out of the blue and then boom, next thing you know, international superstar.
You know, when I finished high school, I actually went to VCA, which is the Victorian College of the Arts, and started studying acting there because that's what I really wanted to do. One of the first jobs was to go to auditions and get rejected so that we could all talk about it. And one of my auditions was MTV, and I got that role. And I thought I could use that to get into acting quite easily at some point. And instead, I found it quite hindering because being a host is so different to being an actor.
Sure.
And then I couldn't get a job as an actor to save my life. So I went to the States.
And now, because we pre-recorded this, the damn lot of them, because look at you. Besties with Vin Diesel, I'm seeing all over social media.
He's like my brother, and he's like my best friend, and he's like my pretend boyfriend, and his wife is amazing and loves our friendship as well. Like, they fight over me as to who gets to hang out with me more, and they're both beautiful, and their kids are divine, and it's like I have a whole new family that I never knew I really needed to have a happy life.
Now, did the friendship come from shooting the movie with him, or was it something that was there before?
No, I was just a really massive fan of Vin's. And when he cast me, you know, essentially there was a casting process, but he had a very big say in who was going to get the role of Adele. And it meant a lot to him, a great deal to him, because she's so integral to his team. And he really wanted me for it. And the second we met, it was just, instant. We just became the best of friends. And, of course, for my birthday, he took me axe throwing, which, of course, you go axe throwing.
Wait. Axe throwing.
Axe throwing. It's actual axes, but proper full-size axes.
Why?
Not even pretend small ones.
Who would suggest such a thing? Well, apparently, Vin Diesel, obviously.
Not even Vin. This is a Canadian thing, of all places. Who would have thought? Right? Nice, sweet Canadians. Someone set it up in their backyard, just against wood, against the tree, and then realized how much damage they were doing to the tree, so started to actually buy wood. And then everyone would have to come and pay $5. And then it became this big company. For the beginning, I was just beating Vin. I was so good. I just thought I finally could beat Vin at something. And then, of course, I couldn't anymore because he has much more strength than me after a couple hours of axe throwing.
Did he handle it well, getting his ass handed to you in the axe throwing?
Yes. He did? Vin and I, yeah, he did. We're so competitive, though, on like so many different things. I feel like he purposely outdid my birthday because he knows that I now have to make up for it for his birthday. And he got me like 7 cakes to the point that after the third, his sister Sam, who works on the production as well, was like, Vin, we can't give her any more cakes. Like she feels like she's had enough cakes now. Every day was still my birthday for 10 days. And one of them was CDJs, you know, like turntables. And I walked past them 4 or 5 times and everyone was like, she's seen it. She's seen the cake. And I had no idea. I thought they were actual decks that were set up. I thought, oh, they better not be expecting me to DJ. I'm not DJing. I'm busy. And then
by cake 5, you just assume they're done.
Yeah, by cake 5, you're also kind of embarrassed because you're sort of like, I know, guy, because he's such a loving guy. He'd get all the production to stop. And we would all go in and accept my birthday cake. And I would feel, after a while, I was just feeling quite shy about it, going, guys, I know my birthday was last week, but Vin has got me another cake and I'm really proud of it. Look, it's in the shape of a rose. He's just, he's everything.
Rose and Sam.
You put together the new clip for the Veronicas. Holy shit. It is so sexy. It is hot. It is you and Jess and all your idea, which I think is pure genius. Was it just to score with her? Because it worked.
I mean, obviously, because I didn't make any money off of it. So it was just, I heard the song, fell in love with it. Then when they were going to do the video and wanted me to be in it, it kind of felt like, well, if I'm going to be in it, I might as well be writing it and have a creative input. And I love directing and I haven't been able to be that hands-on since I did Break Free, which ironically is the last short film I did that got me into the US market. So I wrote a treatment and we all loved it and we'd all signed off on it. And then the night before I said, actually, guys, it's not going to work for me. I've changed the whole entire thing, but I'll see you when you land. Because my original treatment, which I won't give away too much in case I need it for something another time, but it involved a car. And then I went back and watched their videos and saw how often they've used cars. And I was like, oh no, I want it to be different to anything they've ever done. So insert a whole lot of other stuff that I made up pretty much the night before.
I know you guys had a relationship of sorts before, but was it shooting the clip that kind of kicked it into gear? Because when we had Jess on the show, this is what she said about it.
We shot this music video and I don't know, something changed for us and she's just incredible and I just had to tell her how I felt.
Did you use the love word?
You guys.
I've used it a few times and now I'm like having the panic where I'm like, oh my God, have I said it too much? Is it too soon?
Is it love?
Oh, I see she's questioning our relationship there in the 3-minute mark.
Is it too soon? So is it love, Ruby Rose?
Yeah, it's definitely love. It's definitely you love. Yeah, that it definitely happened during the filming. It was very surprising for everybody involved, I think. Except for Lisa. Lisa was always just like, I knew this would happen. This was the point. This was always the point. I'm like, Lisa, you're some crazy mastermind over there.
But is it also kind of weird because you're directing yourself, really getting it on? It's some very steamy stuff. It's a wonderful story that's being told in it as well. But, you know, there's tongues, there's lips, there's showers. It's fantastic.
So you're a fan. What I'm hearing here is that you like the video as well. It was fun. I mean, in the process, I don't think we knew it was going to come across quite as authentic looking as it did, because obviously we fell in love as we were shooting the film. So it just kind of took on a mind of its own. Trust me, we used as little footage from those scenes as humanly possible. I really try to avoid it.
One hell of a Christmas tape at the end of this one. A small part of the clip that I feel deals with prejudice a little bit. There's a scene with the two of you at a bar, and then your character, I guess, gets beaten up, and I think there's that sort of prejudice still, it seems, nowadays. I mean, holy cow, what's just happened, both for you being in the States at the moment with the rise of Trumpageddon, but also here in Australia, where it just seems we're still so backwards when it comes to marriage equality. How do you feel as a proud gay woman to find where you can be now?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that what I found it really empowering about, you know, this doing this video, for instance, is the timing was really spectacular, because we didn't really know what we were going to create until very close to making it. Then when we made it and everything happened politically and both in Australia and in the United States, I felt really quite proud to be releasing this video for people, because when I was younger, the only group I'd ever seen do anything with like a same-sex relationship was like Tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
And that was all I had.
Russian Eurovision contestants.
Right. And so I thought, well, you know, at the very least, yes, the video is, you know, people call it raunchy or steamy or hot or whatever, but for some people, they're going to be able to watch this and see a same-sex relationship in a video, which for every other video, probably 80% of them are relationships, but they're just with a guy and a girl, and they'll be kissing or making out or having their whatever kind of play out in this 3.5 minutes. And yet this becomes really controversial because it's two women, which I find interesting, because everyone sort of thinks it's almost like explicit, but I've definitely not done anything that any other pop star hasn't done with a male counterpart.
At the risk of sounding like an old patronising man, I could not be prouder of you, and congratulations on all your success and more to come as well, not just all the films you've got coming up, another one with Keanu Reeves, Orange is the New Black. He's hoping for more of that as well. For now, Triple X, Return of Xander Cage. We won't see it till next year, but we couldn't be more excited. Thank you very much for talking. Great to catch up with you, Ruby Rose.
Thank you, Rove, and thank you for believing in me when not that many people did. You were always such a believer, and I really will never forget that.
Aw, Rove.
Lovely Ruby Rose.
Oh, that was a nice catch-up. We should get the full interview up on our podcast.
Yeah, we had a decent chat. It was about 20 minutes. I'm going to say it.
Shooting the shit.
Sorry Kids. To all the kids on their way to school right now. I know.
Rove and Sam.
And we've called in one of our own for a bit of a talking to.
Hey, guys.
Oh, mate, you're coming up a lot in the show today. Like, you're just making a kung foolery of yourself.
Someone who should be a very powerful, very professional executive producer on the show, Alexandra Spurway.
You know, you should have your head screwed on. Today, you're all over the shop. You're running around like a loose chicken.
I had a great weekend.
Today, you're just moldy pits.
Today, your pits are so moldy.
Because I was trying to enjoy myself a bit of time on Friday. I was in a different venue. I couldn't be at R&B Fridays Live, but trust me, I wanted to be there, and I wanted to be there in spirit. Mm. So I thought I'll just sort of see how it's going on, check my feed.
The great thing about social media, you can suss out what everyone's doing, have a good time. R&B Live concert was on.
Yeah, and Alex has posted on her own social feed.
Oh, it's so
here's Fat Man Scoop, and there's just a bunch of people having a bit of a dance. And I'm like, okay, that's great. That's interesting that you must be side of stage filming that. And then something made me go, wait a minute. I doubled back. I replayed. Yeah, you got extra views thanks to me.
It's actually all your views are just
me. It's just me going, I can't believe I'm watching it. And in the string of people that have been brought out of the audience to dance behind Fat Man's group.
On one stage, of them, in front of 20,000 people.
No, hey, Spurway.
You can't bring me down. I had dancing? The best time you? Of my life.
No, you were dancing like a drunk auntie at a wedding.
Do you know what? I don't care. Like, I actually remember when I was dancing up there, I was like, I think I look like my mum dancing up there.
No, your mother is a good, talented woman who would not even stoop so low as to do that.
I was the whitest girl on stage, but I don't care.
You can't say that, Alex.
You were giving me grief this morning.
That's racist. The Ainge was up. She
got
the moves.
Loving it.
But she's got the moves.
She also had a backwards cap on. No,
that's true.
Trust me.
I know you're embarrassed by me.
Yes.
But I had the best night of my life.
I'm sure
and
you did.
You can't bring me down.
My nan had the greatest night of her life at my brother's 21st.
Are you comparing me to your nan?
Doesn't mean she's a great dancer. Yeah. It doesn't mean the rest of us weren't going, oh, nan.
We don't all have the moves like old Esfro over here.
I was
doing
some hip flicking.
That's
and
the
some,
problem.
Like, some hand moving.
Look, here's the thing. Here's
Sorry.
The thing. Here's
That's
the
so
thing.
Awkward.
I'm completely fine with it. I don't have a problem with you getting up and just embarrassing yourself in
and
front of
a
sold-out arena.
Oh.
But do you have to post it for me
yep.
and anyone who follows me to go, oh,
yep.
that's her?
Because I need the validation.
Do you have backup
dancing for Fat Man Scoop? Are you joking? Yeah, that's right.
Do it, do it.
Not gonna do it. See, there you go. And you're sober as a judge. It all comes back to haunt you.
Wake up, kids. Rove and Sam.
That was radio gravy.
Like Rove and Sam on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @Rove and Sam.